Hello, everybody. Good morning. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Let's see your bulletins. Bulletins. Open up your bulletins, and we're going to look at our memory verse. In the inside left flap, it says, on three, one, two, three, we walk by faith, not by sight. One more time. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay. Turn to Matthew 14, please. We walk by faith, not by sight. Matthew 14. Last week we started a series on faith called Raw Faith. The R is for relying on facts. Faith is always based on facts, not what you feel or think. And we're going to look at the R today. The A in raw faith is action. We're going to look at that next week. If you have faith, it requires you to act. And the W in raw faith, does anybody remember that? Refers to watching what God does after you act based on what you believe. That's all faith. To have faith in your heart and do nothing with it means nothing. If you have faith, you have to rely on facts, not feelings, not experience, facts. We're going to look at that today. You have to act based on that and then watch what God does. That's the faith cycle, okay? So today we're going to do the R. Next week we'll do the A. And the week after that, which is 2 days before Christmas, we'll do the W. And then the day after that, which is Monday, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service, and we'll have a drama. And so just keep that on your calendar. When my daughter was growing up, she had earplugs in her ears, tubes. And I was fortunate enough to get in on the surgery when they were taking them out one day. So I was in there when they put her to sleep, and then the surgeon let me look in her ear and to see what the tube looked like, to see into her ear. And I had taken anatomy, so I remembered a little bit about the ear. And I had never seen, though, an eardrum. An eardrum looks like clear cellophane saran wrap. That's what it looks like. And this part of your ear is called the pinna. Okay? Some have big ones, some have little ones. Some stick out like this. Some people's ears are so big they can hear stuff before it happens. This is a little joke. Sound is a vibration in the air, and when the vibration hits your pinna helps you understand whether the sound is coming from behind you, the side, the front, above you. That's what one of the purposes this serves. And then the vibration gets funneled in to your canal and hits the eardrum, the tympanic membrane, and it vibrates. And then leaning up against the eardrum are these three bones. They vibrate. And that's in the middle of your ear. And then on the inner ear, there's fluid that shakes. And then there's thousands of little hairs called stereo, like a stereo, cilia. And they tickle a nerve that sends sound into your brain. And that's how you know what you're hearing. So when I talk, the vibration of my voice goes through the air, gets funneled in, shakes this cellophane, shakes the bones, there's three bones they shake, shakes the fluid, tickles these hairs, and then you hear something. Isn't that a trip? You know what's a trip is that as you're laughing, as I'm doing this and I'm doing this, you're hearing all that at the same time, and all this stuff is happening at the same time, distinguishing all these sounds. As amazing as that is, your hearing is limited. It's limited. You can't hear like animals, a lot of animals. Elephants can communicate with subsonic communication. Subsonic, you can't hear it. It sounds like this. For real. They communicate with stuff you can't hear because their hearing is better. They can hear subsonic communication over 15 miles. So even though your hearing is amazing, it's limited. Faith walks by, not by sight or hearing, but by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, faith goes beyond the use of your hearing. Faith goes beyond the use of your sight. In the back of your eye are 150 million rods and cones. These rods and cones collect light and information and then send that information to your optic nerve. It goes to your brain and you see a picture. It comes in upside down, it inverts it, and you see depth, you see shape, you see color, and you see motion. Your brain processes all this light coming in, and you see what you see. You and I don't really necessarily understand, maybe some of you do, but very few of us really understand how that happens. But in the back of your eye, there's an optic nerve, and that optic nerve represents a blind spot. In other words, you can't see from that optic nerve, from the space your optic nerve is. And when your eye focuses on a place, the area of your eye that the optic nerve is behind is a blind spot. But you don't see a black hole because your eye, your brain, fills in that area with what is around it. In other words, if you were looking at a fly on a beach and your blind spot landed right next to the fly, you wouldn't see a black spot. Your brain would automatically fill in that area with sand, even though it's not seeing that sand. That happens every day to you. You don't even know it. And my point is that even your sight is limited. Faith goes beyond the use of your sight. Faith goes beyond the use of your hearing. Your smell. We have the ability to distinguish between 100,000 different odors. We have 1,000 different kinds of receptors in our nose to distinguish 10,000 different odors. But our sense of smell is very limited to animals and animal kingdom. Some animals in animal kingdom, half their brain is just for smell because that's how they find everything. A shark can smell a drop of blood in the ocean a mile away. Can you? Now, you may be able to smell Starbucks a mile away. Faith goes beyond the use of your senses. Read the verse again in your bulletin. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let me read it again. We walk by faith, not by the use of our eyes. We walk by faith, not by the use of our ears. We walk by faith, not by what we perceive. We walk by faith, not by what we understand. We walk by faith, not by what we've learned in school. You walk by faith, not based on the use of your senses, because faith goes beyond the use of your senses. So what I'm going to tell you this is that you walk by faith. Faith is always based on facts. Here are the three facts you got to write down. Fact number one. The fact number one that your faith is based on is that your senses are not dependable. Write that down. Your senses are not dependable. What you see, you can't depend on. What you see is not always what you think. You can't rely on what you hear because you never hear the whole story. If someone ever comes and tells you something about somebody else, don't believe it. If you read something in the paper, don't believe it. There may be some truth in it, but let me tell you something. There's an untruth also. You never can believe the whole story. The Bible says it's folly and shame to him who answers a matter before he hears it. In other words, if you hear part of the story and you make a decision, folly and shame to you. Hear the whole story, and even when you hear the whole story, there's more to it than that. So the Bible says your senses, what you think, what you feel, what you perceive, you can't depend on. How many times have you, we're going to talk to somebody about something in a confrontational situation, and you were nervous, you were in your mind playing out, if they say this, I'm going to say this, if they do this, I'm going to do this, and then there's going to be a fight, then we're going to be rolling around the street, knocking each other, pulling each other's wigs off. You have this scenario in your mind, and then when you go talk to them, it never happens. They go, okay. And your brain, your heart, your sinfulness was telling you all these lies about what's going to happen because you can't trust it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what that means? That you and I are desperately selfish, desperately egotistical, desperately arrogant, desperately me-orientated, desperately I'm better than you-orientated, desperately I got to be first, I got to have the best, I got to have the most orientated. We want that. You may not, you know what the Bible says? The heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? If you're saying to yourself, that's not me, guess what? That's because you don't know it. That's it. You're even fooled now. Oh, I'm not that bad. You're so bad. I am so bad. I don't even know it because my heart's not showing me. My heart doesn't want me to know it because my heart wants me to think I'm good. I'm okay. I'm different. I'm better. You can't trust you. You can't trust me. You can't trust him. You can only trust one God, one person, that's God. So fact number one is that we are not dependable. Our senses are not dependable. You have to have faith in that fact. The Bible says that whoever wants to come after Christ, whoever wants to come after me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. You have to say no to yourself. So when you're getting all this information in, you take that information, you can't trust in it. You got to process that through the Lord. That's fact number one. You are not dependable. Fact number two is God's word is 100% factual. God's word is 100% factual. The Bible says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all in scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is what we put our faith in. If God tells you to love your enemy and your flesh, your mind, your brain, your heart says to punch your enemy, you have to choose which one of those facts. Which one of those pieces of information is factual? Which one of those pieces of information do I put my faith in? It's always going to be God's word. The Bible says if you love your enemy, it's like taking heaping burning coals and putting it on their head. Now imagine someone that you can't stand. Wouldn't you love to take burning coals and put it on their head? Love them. Love them. You know when someone doesn't like you and you go, hey, how you doing? And you're just all nice to them and they're like, I can't stand you. And they start messing with you. Oh, hell, praise God. I love you too. You just take all my money. Just talk behind my back. That's okay. I love you anyway. You're just so pretty. I love your hair, dude. I love your clothes. And okay, yeah, I can't stand you. But they're like, oh, I can't stand that person. The Bible says to love those who spitefully use you. The Bible says to love your enemy as well as your friends. The flesh, our senses say, get them. Point number three, fact number three, God is faithful. God is faithful. What does that mean? God does what he says. Simple as that. So, faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith goes beyond the use of your senses. Therefore, you have to put your faith in facts. Facts number one, your senses are not dependable. They give you limited information. God's word is factual and God is faithful. So therefore you put your faith and trust in God's facts, his word, and his faithfulness, his word. Amen? Now, in Matthew 14, we're going to look at a story. I refer to this story all the time. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We're going to look at the story, and in the story we're going to see Peter do this. Peter is going to trust in God's faithfulness. He's going to trust in God's word. And check this out, y'all. He's going to trust not in his senses. And then he is going to trust in his senses. He's going to do both. And when you see that he doesn't trust in his senses and trust in God, he wins. When he trusts in what he sees, when he trusts in what he thinks, when he trusts in what he feels, he sinks. You have to make a decision in your life. Am I going to trust in me and by sight, by hearing, by taste, by what I see, what I feel? Or am I going to trust in facts? The facts of God's word is the only thing you need to trust in. Let's read the story. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now in the middle of the evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the middle of the fourth watch of the night, he went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid, troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Very simple story. Jesus feeds 5,000 people, five times this, okay? While they still got the bread in their teeth, he says, "Listen, y'all, get in the boat, go to the other side, and I'm going to go to pray." So they get in the boat, they go to the other side. He goes up into the mountains to pray, and the Bible says he's alone. And then in the middle of the night, he goes walking out in the water on the sea as the waves are going up and down, and they see him, and they go, "Ah, it's a ghost," and they cry for fear. And Jesus says, "Chill, it's me." Okay. I believe Jesus prayed for the storm. As a matter of fact, I'll explain to you why later, but it doesn't matter for right now. The storm comes, he walks out, and right in the middle of the storm where they think they're going to sink, where they think they're going to drown, there's God standing on the water in front of them. And they cry scared. God tells them, even though your eyes are telling you you might drown, even though your brain is telling you might drown, even though your heart is scared, I'm telling you to be happy. Wait a minute. My business is going down. I got people hounding me. I'm sick. I got my friend stabbing me in the back. And you're telling me to be happy? Yeah. Because guess what? I'm here with you. And if you trust me, you'll get through it. Now, we just put up our Christmas tree yesterday. Got the Christmas lights. I really hate putting up Christmas lights. I don't know why. 1 year, I left my Christmas lights up all the way till July. I was thinking, man, if I could just wait five more months, I could just, you know, get by. What went in the Christmas tree? Remember when you were a little kid? Christmas Eve, you went to bed late, got up early. Christmas lasts 5 minutes, right? It's only 5 minutes long. You get up, run down, rip, 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 rip. Takes 5 minutes. Rip, rip, and you go, that's it. Is there anything else? No. And then what do you say? At least I remember as a little kid. 365 more days. A whole year. Oh, man. Remember that? Am I the only one? Do y'all remember that? And it's like a year is such a long time. Those years come and they go. They come and they go. I remember last year filming on Christmas saying it's going to be a whole year. Here we go again. And you know what the devil wants you to do? Panic. I'm having this trial. I got this, confront this person. I have this problem. And it's the end of the world. God says, relax. I'm here. Relax. Our senses tell us to panic. Our senses tell us to worry. Our senses tell us to get depressed. Our senses tell us to start tripping. God says, relax, because I'm going to get you through. See, a storm to an adult, oh, it's a storm. But the little kids, it's thundering and lightning outside. It's snowing. If you've ever been back east or anywhere where there's snow, in the mountains, and it's snowstorm, that's a kid's favorite day. You can almost hear the snowflakes. And why are kids so happy? We don't gotta go to school. But it's either a storm or beautiful snow. These guys are on the sea thinking they're going to die. Their senses are telling them they're going to die. God is telling them to be happy. You have to decide, do you listen to your senses or do you listen to God? My challenge to you is faith walks not by your senses. Faith walks by the Word of God. Faith trusts in the Word of God. What I'm going to tell you today is that, hey, you know, God, I'm ready to walk away from tripping on my problems. I got to deal with them. I got to address them, but I'm not going to let them get me down. Look what it says next verse. It says, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter is telling Christ, I believe in your faithfulness. Why? Because Jesus told them, you will do what I do and even greater works. John 14, 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Jesus trained them, told them that they were going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the gospel. He told them that. And so here Jesus standing on the water. He didn't say a word, anything but be of good cheer. Jesus is standing on the water. Peter's in the boat with his other disciples, and Peter's the only guy to get it. He's the only guy to say, wait a minute. If he told us we would do what he's doing, if he told us we would be like him, I want to do it now. Because I believe he's faithful. I believe his word is true. So Peter stood up out of the boat and said, Lord, call me to come to you in the water. Is that what it said? Read your Bible now. Don't let me trick you. Don't believe what I say. Look what it says. Let me come to you in the water. Is that what it said? On the water. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the dog pound. No. He says, I want to walk. What? I want to walk. I want to do what you do. Call me to do what you do. How many of y'all have the faith to say, Lord, I'm not going to trust in what my brain is telling me I can't do. I'm not going to trust in what my critics say I can't do. I'm not going to trust in what all the logical people say what I can't do. I want to trust in what you say I can do. That's a person by faith. You have to live preoccupied with not the negativeness of logic or the limitations of education, the limitations of physics. You can't live with the limitations of physics. You have to live above it by faith. Faith says, God made me a promise. I'm going to do it. Those crusades, I can't tell you the whole way of the last 6 years we've been doing those crusades, 31,000 kids, right? The whole way, I can honestly tell you every crusade, I got naysayers, no, you can't. It's like, please. This has nothing to do with your logic, your education, your experience. Has everything to do with what God said. That's it. So when you walk by faith in your world, you have to base your decisions on what God said. And even though your understanding may go totally against what God said, too bad. You're wrong. Your understanding is wrong. My understanding is wrong. And so when he's standing, he's saying, Jesus, everything in my being is saying this is impossible. Everything I understand to be true says this is impossible. But by faith, I ask you to call me to you so I can walk on water. Look what Jesus said. Read your Bible. One word. What did he say? Come. Let's go. You feel froggy? Jump. I have a little Dachshund, little hot dog. And when we got the dog, I told my kids, I said, look, I'm going to get you the dog, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Y'all are taking care of the dog. I'm not feeding the dog. I'm not cleaning up after the dog. I'm not walking the dog. I'm not playing with the dog. I have nothing to do with the dog. And your mother has nothing, even though I knew my wife was going to, you know, give in and help him. But, you know, me, nope, dog, y'all got to get up. Dog got to go. Y'all got to take the dog. Don't bother me. I'm telling you that now. Are y'all, oh, yes, Dad, we okay. Okay, okay. Let's write this down. So anyway, I still have yet to walk the dog. It's been about a year. Only thing I do with the dog, I don't even call her by a name. Her name is Lucy. I call her dog. But the dog loves me. I love her too now. I do love her. She loves to play with me. And so when I come home, she greets everybody. But when I'm in the house, she gets me to, we have this game we play where we have a little track. She runs around the table. So it's her little doggy track. She just runs around. She just goes crazy. And I just sit there on the ground and just yell at her. She just runs by me. Wham, 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 wham. I just keep yelling at her. And she gets on the back. I play with her. And she runs around some more. And she gets on the back. And we do that for about 3 minutes. And then it's done. So she loves playing with me, though. So the other day, she's standing over across the room by herself. And she's so short, she could sit down by just doing this. It is so funny because she'd be walking around. But she has two levels of sitting. She can sit where she's on the floor, or she'll just take her legs and just do it halfway. And she's almost like this. And so the other day she's sitting like this, and we called her, and right before she came, she went like hydraulics. It was so funny. And then she went. So she's standing there, and all the kids are calling, Lucy, come here, Lucy, come here, Lucy, come here, Lucy, come here. Now she's looking. She sees me. She sees the kids. She sees me. And she's like, they're like, Lucy, come here, Lucy, Lucy. And I'm like, I'm not saying anything. So she goes up on hydraulics. She's like thinking about it. They're calling her, calling her. And then I say, come here, dog. Forget them. As soon as I did that, she runs over to me. She's not trained. I was really surprised too. So ever since then, I told her she loves me more than she loves y'all. So ever since then, every time I call her, I just don't say anything. I go, Lucy, forget them. Come here. And she runs over. Look at verse 29. It's related to my story. Jesus said, come. Come, boy. Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. How many times has God got to call you before you come? How many times he's got to tell you, trust me, before you trust him? How many times he's got to tell you to stop whining and complaining and do what he says before you stop whining and complaining and do what he says? How many times? How many times? We walk by faith, not by sight. You can rationalize all you want about why you have reasons for doing what you want versus what he wants. You will always be wrong. You will always be wrong. Now, here's the problem with people who are intelligent and smart. I shouldn't even say intelligent and smart. People who, no, forget that. Scratch that. Let me move on. Here's the problem with people who don't want to walk by faith. They have to have proof that what God is saying is true before they'll believe him. In other words, God, I have my reasoning, I have my logic, and my logic and reasoning seems more right to me than your logic and reasoning. So until you can prove that what you're saying is better than what I'm saying, I'm going to do what I think. Guess what that's called? Sin. God, you're wrong and I'm right. You're always going to be wrong. So Peter's in the boat. He stands up. Jesus says, come. The other disciples are in the boat going, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what they said to Peter. If they said, Peter, don't do it. Or if they said, Peter, go do it because we want to laugh. Or if they said, Peter, you can do it. Go ahead, brother, we're with you. Or if they didn't say anything, they just thought in their mind, this is trippy. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what they said or what they thought, but I could tell you what they didn't do. They didn't get up. Their actions said, we don't believe. faith without works is dead. The work here is getting up, asking Jesus to call you, and step out of the boat. That's the work. Look what happened. He got out of the boat, verse 29, he got out of the boat, walked to Jesus on the water. Wow. Now, watch this. Peter's in the boat. His facts are the rain is coming down, the winds are coming down, the boat's going up and down. His facts are Jesus standing before him. His facts are all that he saw Jesus do all the time they were together. His facts are Jesus says, be of good cheer, it's I. His facts are Jesus says, come. Instead of looking at the wind and the rain and worrying about drowning, he takes God at his word like a child. There's a little girl on my street. I told her that Tweety Bird and Sylvester got married. No, I'm sorry. She had a Tinkerbell shirt. I told her Tinkerbell and Sylvester got married and Tweety Bird was the baby. And she went like this. No, they didn't. I said, yes, they did. You didn't see it on TV. I saw it. They got married. She's like, can you see my eyes going back? She's like this, looking around, going, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. I'm going to ask my mommy. Go ask your mom. Then I told her, like, 2 weeks later, I was kidding. But she's like, I believe. Could that be true? When God tells you something, you just got to believe him. You got to believe me. Okay, you want me to come to you? How do I get there? Do what I'm doing. I don't understand. You're not supposed to. Let me see, God, I don't know. Okay, is anybody want to come? Because I ain't got time for you. Anybody else want to come? That's what God's looking for, people of faith. And he'll deal with you, but he's going to move on with somebody else. My job is to walk by faith. Your job is to walk by faith. All of this is by faith. Okay, God, we're going to do this. Oh, what about this? Don't worry. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. We're going to go do this. Okay? So it says here, Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water. But look at verse 30. Now, verse 29 represents him relying on facts. Say it with me. Verse 29 represents him relying on facts. Now, watch verse 30. It represents him relying on himself. His senses, his sight. Look what it says. There's one key word. I'm going to ask you when I finish reading the verse what it is. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. What's the key word? Saw. Oh, my goodness. I am walking on water. It is raining. Wind is blowing. I weigh 170 pounds. How is this happening? My brain, my logic, physics says I should be sinking. Now, does it make sense that he shouldn't have been walking? Absolutely. Does it make sense he should have been afraid in the natural? Absolutely. Does it make sense that all this was not supposed to happen? Absolutely. But you know what? God has not called us to walk by what makes sense. God has not called us to walk by what makes sense. He's called us to walk by faith. You got to be in tune with what he's telling you. And you got to do what he's telling you. And let me tell you something. When you can get in your mind, I am going to make a decision right now, not based on what I feel, not based on what I think, not based on the numbers in front of me. I'm going to make a decision based on facts of God's word. That's exciting. Now, sometimes what God tells you makes sense to you. In other words, you have $5 in your pocket, and you go into the store, and you try to purchase something that costs $5 or less. That's okay. That makes sense. It makes sense to think, you know, if I try to purchase something that costs $10 or $5, I might get arrested. Yeah, that's true. Saying to yourself, well, I believe in God, he's going to multiply my dollars, that's you making stuff up. Okay. But if God told you, you have $5, I want you to plan and pray that you would be able to go get a $20 item. I'm going to provide. And you pray towards that end and work towards him fulfilling that if you're sure God told you that. Very different story. Very different story. So right here, when he starts relying on facts that contradict what God said, God told him to come to him. His facts are telling him he shouldn't come and he should sink. When he saw the wind and his brain and his heart started to receive as fact what he saw, that's when he sunk. You have to always keep God's fact before you as what you rely on, not your facts. Now, use your mind, use your brain, use your heart to process information, to count the cost, to consider what's going on around you. But let me tell you something. One of the reasons you do that is so you can appreciate the miracle. Whenever Jesus asks a question in the Bible, always know he knows the answer. He's not asking a question to get information. You ever think about that? Little boy was demon possessed. He said to the father, "Father, how long has the demon been possessing your boy?" Jesus knows how long. He knows. Why is he asking the question? So all of y'all can know. He says, "Father, tell the crowd how long the demon has been tormenting your son, and tell the crowd what the demon's been doing to your son, so when I heal your son, they know how bad I am." Tell them. Oh, you throw him in the fire, you throw him in the water. Mm-hmm. Tell him some more, ever since he was a little boy. Tell him about the other night when he had foam come out of his mouth. Oh, he had foam come out. Tell him what color it was. It was green, it was stinking. Tell him how you couldn't do anything about it. Oh, yeah. He said, "Okay, y'all got that? Y'all got that? Nobody could heal this boy. Watch this. Deaf, dumb spirit, get out of him." Ooh, he the man. Your senses, you need to know the miracle of God. So next time, remember David killed Goliath? He told Saul, "Hey, Saul, I killed a giant, I killed a bear, I killed a lion. If God delivered me from those things, God can do it again." He knew what trusting in God was all about. So it says here, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me, Lord, save me." Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you a little faith, why did you not doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. The reason I think he called the wind is because as soon as the test was over, the wind went away. But that's insignificant. You know what he says? "Oh, you a little faith." What? Come on, man. I walked. These guys didn't even get out of the boat. You gonna give me some credit? I did. I gave you a little bit of credit. You mean me walking on water is only a little faith? Yep. What does that mean to me? That faith has unlimited potential. I never walked on water. Anybody here walk on water? I didn't think so. That's a pretty big thing to me. I don't think I've ever done anything close to walking on water. And if Peter has a little bit of faith, what do I got? Let me tell you something. Make a decision. I'm going to trust in facts. All the more reason I should read the Bible. All the more reason I should memorize the Bible. All the more reason I should study the Bible. All the more reason I should talk about the Bible, because that's where our facts come from. That's where I learn of God's faithfulness. That's where I learn of God's commands. I have to have it. If I don't have facts, I can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I can choose to rely on those facts, or I can choose to rely on my unreliable senses. My unreliable perception. The perception that we have of our life is not totally accurate. The perception we have of ourself is not totally accurate. Someone asked me, I have a woman that's my counselor for 15 years. She said to me one day, "Do you have any idea how people perceive you?" I was like, at first you think, well, they probably perceive me like I perceive me. Wrong. People don't perceive you like you perceive you. You ever think about that? Or you think you're just a great guy, you just have all the right answers, you're just so intelligent. People don't look at you that way. We all have a bit of idiot in us, don't we? Can I get an amen? I hope you're not saying that about me. We're saying it about all each other, right? I know I do, but we all have a bit of idiot in us. Amen? But we don't think about that a lot, do we? You don't walk into a relationship saying, I'm such an idiot. No, you think, I'm such a nice guy. We even perceive ourselves wrong. Lord, I can't trust myself. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Lord, I want to trust in your word. That's factual. In a minute, we're going to pray. And some of y'all need to ask Christ to be your Savior. Some of y'all are already saved, need to say, Lord, I haven't been walking by faith. I've been doing things my way. I want to walk by faith. I want to start studying this and memorizing it and trusting this. I want to make decisions based on what I feel you telling me. And if I don't feel you telling me something, I'm going to wait. That's a novel thing. I'm going to do nothing. People always want to push you in the corner. Tell me now, tell me now, tell me now. No, I want to wait. I want to do nothing. And so you have to make a decision, Lord, I want to start walking by faith. I want to start living based on facts. So in a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to take one prayer for all those people. But a lot of y'all in here who are Christians, you need to say, Lord, I need to let go and I need to start stepping out of my boat. So what we're going to ask you to do, we're going to ask you to pray just like we do when people get saved every week. And we're going to ask you to stand up just like we do every week, and we're going to ask you eventually to come forward down here just like we do when people get saved. But for all y'all who are saved, you too, we're going to ask you to walk by faith, not by sight, right up here. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your word that never changes. It is so good. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that they would decide to walk by faith. If you realize today you need to recommit your life to Jesus, you need to give Jesus your whole heart, or you need to be saved, forgiven of your sin, pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to walk by sight. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust in your word. Please forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my dependence on my senses to you. I want to trust in your word for salvation and for sanctification. The process of being holy. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, just get up out of your seat and come down here right now and shake my hand. Come on down here right now. Get up out of your seat. Just stand right here at the altar. God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, hello. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You face this way. It's all faces way. Stay up here in the front, please. God bless you. God bless you. Stay up here in the front. God bless you. God bless you. Good, 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 good. God bless you. 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 Congratulations. God bless you. 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 The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. If you do not walk out of your boat by faith based on stuff you do not know, you do not understand, based only on what God says, you cannot please God because there's nothing in the boat that pleases him. That's all of us in here. For some of you, it means reading your Bible every day. For some of you, it means praying every day. For some of you, it means witnessing to your friends. For some of you, it means tithing. For some of you, it means serving, whatever it is. But as long as you stay in the boat where you know what's going on, you can't please God. You will frustrate yourself. God got a lot of patience, so I don't know if you're going to frustrate him, but you're going to grieve his spirit. And you're going to frustrate people around you who are trying to walk by faith. You got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat. And as long as you get out of the boat when you're on the water, see, here's the deal. Peter stepped out of the boat and he was on the water. When he realized that he was on the water, he should have said, oh God, he should have prayed more, kept his eyes on Christ. He would have kept walking. But as soon as he took his eyes off God, he sank. The same thing with all of us. Take your eyes off God. Oh, I'm doing good with the Lord. Oh, I'm not doing good with the Lord. Oh, I'm praising God. Oh, I'm not. Why? Because you take your eyes off God, you put your eyes on yourself. You take your eyes off yourself, put your eyes on God. You go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Keep your eyes on God. Because guess what? If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you take one step out of the boat, two step out of the boat, three. Next thing you know, you walk so far across the lake, you can't even see the boat anymore. And you're out there. I mean, people say, that brother is out there. Now, they're in the boat, but they see you way over there. Remember that last week I talked about the kid who was running? If you weren't here, I'm not going to go into the story, but so you're just not going to know what I'm talking about. But this kid was running. You can get the tape. You know what I'm talking about? And he was running because he was walking. He's running by faith. And the other girls who were walking because they didn't want to run were way behind him looking at him saying, how can I be like that? Same thing with Christians. If you want to be way out there and people in the world will think you're crazy, that's a compliment. Man, you are out of your mind. That's right. I don't want to trust in this. I want to trust in this. That's a good thing. And people are going to try to understand. Matter of fact, I heard this preacher say, if you are a praying person, your life will be unexplainable. Can you explain that altar call? You cannot. We can't even show it to you in video because we would have to have five cameras. It's unexplainable because there were people praying like mad up there and here for those kids over and over and over again. And even what we talked about, the TV shows and the e-learning thing, the hundreds of thousands of dollars we do not have. But you know what? God's going to do it. That's not for me to figure out. My job is to be obedient. Your job is to be obedient. So, all of y'all this week, it's the only thing I want you to do. I want you to make a decision. I want you to think every day, I'm getting ready to make a decision. Is this decision based on my senses, my fear, or is the decision based on the facts? Make that decision, distinction. And when you say, I'm going to decide on my senses, then whatever happens is your problem. Do not blame God. But if you say, no, I'm going to make a decision based on faith, what God has said in his word or in my heart, then get ready for him to do something amazing. That's exciting. We're going to pray for all you people. Then what we're going to do is we're going to send this half over there because we got people who want to pray for you, with you, and this half over there. And then want all y'all to bring somebody next week. Amen. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for being good. We thank you for being faithful. Lord, there are people down here, you've been waiting for this day all their life. You are so happy. Lord, I pray we don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. I pray we wouldn't trust ourselves. We wouldn't rely on ourselves. We would trust you and rely on you. Teach us to do that better every day. Lord, teach me to teach them to do that better every day. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to people things I haven't said. Thank you for revealing things to them, things I haven't thought of. Thank you for personalizing these sermons to every individual here. And I pray you do that more and more. I pray they receive it as from God, not from man. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to ask all y'all to walk that way, just that way right there. Make a right turn. All y'all walk that way, make a left turn. Let's give them a hand as they go out.